blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Viridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, and by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three core precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiampi tatiampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. So what shall we look at this morning?
June. So, I've been working at practicing ferreting out beliefs.
Ferreting out beliefs.
That aren't, that don't, haven't just presented themselves. I can tell from how it seems obvious from the kinds of things that get my attention and pull me out of the moment that there are beliefs that I'm not seeing. It's probably a whole raft of them.
So there's this paying attention to what's pulling you out of the moment and ferreting out the beliefs.
And I saw one.
Good.
And here it is. There's a recurring thought that it has to do with practice, and it has to do with, on this hand, the practice says these three things, and on this hand it says these three things. And to what I've discovered is conditioned mind, that it kind of contradict each other. But what the belief that I hold is that if I get the right information that resolves the contradiction, this whole area of my life that just presents a lot of struggle will be cleared up and things will be a lot better.
So seeing how that pulls you out of the moment, this belief that things are going to be a lot better if you get the information that's going to clear up this contradiction, that seemingly contradiction.
And the way it's all framed, it is a contradiction. But what I saw is that it's being framed. And it's the old thing about, if I get the information that I need, if I get the wise guidance that I need, and it's all of this contradiction is cleared up, well, that I can get, that it can be cleared up, is a bamboozle. And that if it does, then I will know something. I, in quotes, will know something that I needs to know.
So there's the bamboozle that it could, that there is something that needs to be cleared up.
And I believe, sitting right here, right now, looking at it, it is clearly a contradiction. And depending on where I'm looking at, it is a problem. Uh-huh. Looking from, it is a problem. And it's just, it wants me so bad to tell you what it is. And give you the what's of it.
Yeah.
Because this is practice.
Yeah.
Practice can't be contradicting itself.
Yeah.
And so, I interrupted you.
That's fine. I mean, just that, how it pulls the attention with, like, this can be clean, this can be cleared up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just, you know, and then everything's going to be okay. You know, it's going to free up everything.
Can be ended.
And
the way to end suffering is to get this bit of what is probably just purely intellectual information. And then suffering can be ended without it, not so much.
So overlooking the suffering that's happening right in that moment trying to clear this thing
and
up.
And it's been the same thing for years. I've been seeing this for years.
Uh-huh.
And I only just saw that all of that is just a bamboozle.
It's a bamboozle.
That on neither list is be in this moment with all the acceptance and willingness and love and gratitude that you can muster. That's the practice.
I like the way you did your hand gestures there. There's the two lists.
Yeah.
And then there's the center, you know, be in the moment. That's not, that doesn't appear. That doesn't appear as one of the options. It's, you know, has the attention bouncing back and forth between the two lists and seeing the bamboozle in that.
So that's the second example of seeing through a belief that's happened in the last week.
Wow.
That the process, what was seen through was two sides of the thing. Oh, surprise. I just saw this. That's not a big surprise. There's this way that I'm wrong and this way that I could be right, if only.
Uh-huh.
And that the whole thing is held together with that belief that there's something I don't know that I need to know.
That whole duality is just held together with this belief that there's just something you need to know and you're going to get it figured out.
Yeah. Or I'm going to ask someone who will tell me. Let's face it, I'm going to ask Sherry. She's going to give me the answer.
Yeah, Sherry, she's going to give you the answer and then it's all going to be figured out.
Yeah. So that's pretty fun.
Pretty fun, and a lot of paying attention. Just catching those bamboozles and seeing through them. Jen.
That was really helpful because it helped shine a light on something that I've been looking at, which I think what I saw was it goes back to just practicing with the subtle sensations of addiction.
The subtle sensations of addiction.
Yeah, which is sort of a theme that's been around a little bit lately. But what I... Oh, it's so fascinating. Really, everything's a workshop. I mean, duh, but... So, there's some things in my hermitage that have been unfinished for quite some time. Just, you know, stuff like... half painted, or you know, things, you know, sticking out of something and not, you know, just stuff like that. Everything completely functional, you know, excellent, all of that, but just this, right? Mm-hmm. For quite, as I say, quite some time. And so I practice with that, you know, kind of. I mean, there's so much around that. I gotta get to that. Yep, we will. You know, mm-hmm. life will open up a space. You know, just all the different things that come in around that. And then life opens up a space. Uh-huh. And that becomes the focus for some period of time. And to watch all that rushes in there.
Wow. Wow. We'll watch all that rushes in when that space opens to attend to these things that are in your environment that are, quote,
unfinished.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, as you reflect that, it's like, even that is such an interesting workshop, because the one side of the duality is like, oh, such an enneatype one, like, oh, it all has to be done just right, you know, and I can't rest until everything is in its place. So there's that side. But then there's the place of, what would it be like to practice, okay, so what will I have, right, when it's all just so?
Yeah.
And practicing that process, receiving that process.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that, I mean, I've seen it time and time and time again, a million times with so many different things in my life. Life will open up a space for it. It's just, now's not the time.
Wow.
Right?
So practicing, what would you have if those things were completed, and practicing that process, and having the experience that life opens up an opportunity to tend to these things.
Yeah. And that's a really interesting place of like, sort of agency, right? So there's the, well, life will open up a space, you know, sometime. But, and at the same time, realizing that unfinishedness has an energetic impact, and so sort of actively watching for the space without pushing for it, right? So not, so I guess the one side would be a victim, like, well, I guess I can do that. And the other side would be like pushing, you know, that I gotta get this done, I can't rest until. Yeah. So what's that middle way of practicing the process that I'm receiving the whole time while kind of being right in there, engaged.
Being right in there, paying attention,
right,
being engaged, watching for that opening that life might present, which you may miss if you're in that other place of resignation, like, oh, well, I'm a victim to life's timing, you know, versus that other, and then there's the pushing for a place that there isn't one.
So I think as you reflect that, I think what I'm seeing is, boy, that's just a, I think it's not a razor's edge, but I suspect when we're really living in the present moment, it's a very wide, expansive place. But it can feel like that, because what happens, I noticed, so I've really, over the last whatever period of time, just really been enjoying practicing the deepest desire is to be here. The deepest desire is to be here. The deepest desire is to be here. And just kind of a little prayer of like, please help me remember that, you know? You know, thank you, I love you. The deepest desire is to be here. Please help me remember that. Thank you, I love you. The deepest desire, you know, just over and over and over and over again. So then in comes this space, and it's like, whoo! Just that, I mean, a temptation to go to that side of the duality of like, wow, okay, who knows when this is gonna go down again. And I think kind of that energy of, oh, if I could just.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that place of, you know, is there a place? So life did open up the space. Mm-hmm. And there is the, there is that place of the rhythms of life. I mean, that's one of the things I've been noticing. So, for example, when we're on retreat, at least for me, often the, especially by the end of it, the office is not really tidy. Neither is the house. Things are not clean, right? But there's a place where, great, that's completely all right, because that's not the focus this week. The focus is this other amazing, lovely thing that we receive so much from, right? So there, it does seem like there's that place where there are the rhythms, right? So I keep recording about, okay, the rhythm this week is this thing is the focus.
So yeah, recognizing the rhythms and actually recording about the rhythms to keep it in your awareness that this is the current rhythm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. This is the current rhythm, because I think, you know, meanwhile there can be this assessment of like, what are you doing? You're getting completely obsessed with this, you know, blah, blah, blah. So again, it's just playing with that middle way kind of place. And I think the meta thing that I was just seeing as I was listening to that first conversation is, can that in itself be an interesting workshop. Uh-huh. In other words, that process of watching, maybe tipping a little over to this side, maybe tipping over a little to that side, or maybe not, I don't actually know. But instead of kind of watching to see, now, is this coming from a centered place? Is this not coming from a... Because that in itself is not really a helpful orientation.
Yeah, yeah, that constant, that, let's say, hypervigilance.
Yeah.
To just be there, you know, someone who knows where that's coming from is like taking an inventory. Is this a centered place? Is this not a centered place?
Exactly.
You know, and playing with the workshop around that.
Exactly.
You know? And that there's the one that wants to just rush in to the opening and to just look at rhythms.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and what's the rhythm? What's the non-rhythm?
You know, it's like the ultimate place, right, is having attention on awareness. And what is that to have? So we're on retreat, or it's a week where, you know, can focus on the hermitage, or it's a week of, you know, administrative things, or it's a, so there's a particular focus. Can attention stay on awareness within that? So what did I, because there was something about that. Yeah, it went back out. That it feels like what can sometimes happen from that sort of being watched place is the attention toggles. Instead of attention being on awareness, it's like doing the thing, but I'm still got the breath mantra, So instead of sort of the breath mantra being an attention on awareness support, there's this toggling to it to make sure I'm still being the right Zen student as I'm putting all my attention on them.
Yes.
Not quite the same thing.
Just as you talk about it, just that having that in a sense of the difference and the attention being in that expanded step back place of awareness versus that, you know, kind of toggling, you know, like, you know, taking a little inventory all the time, you know, watching what's happening and is this...
But here's the most interesting mystery, of course, is that there's the awareness of that happening. Right?
Yes.
So then,
yes.
Because then there's that preference for being able to do the thing with attention on awareness. I mean, that is so, not only is that lovely and joyful, it's right.
Exactly. As you were saying that you know, it's so subtle, but that's another place of that toggling.
Yes.
And as you say, then there's that stepping back to see the even bigger,
the bigger
step back.
And I think the addiction place that I was seeing in that first conversation for me is like, okay, I will, but let me just get this painting done. You know, kind of that, just that draw to think it really isn't a thing.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back to being really, really good. Yeah. But just quickly get this thing done.
Yeah. Maybe I could just slip this in to the opening, you know, and then somebody's going to feel relief or whatever, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's all really...
So much
it's
to
all
see.
All a workshop.
All a workshop.
Yeah.
All a workshop. Thank you. Renee.
Yeah, that just made me think of my focus changing a lot of different topics and not having a lot of downtime in between, you know, so it's like, so I'm here doing a lot of physical activity. Normally I don't do a lot of physical activity in my job, and there's just a lot going on, and not only is conditioning trying to get me to think about either the past, the future, or something else I should be doing, but there's also other people saying these things outside of my head, and I finally had to say, I can't talk about anything else except what I'm doing right here, you know, because there was so much going on. And one of those people said, okay, I won't talk about that anymore, realizing what was going on for her. And and that we were needed to deal with what we were dealing with here. And so I just, it is, that does happen. Like, there's like a focus, or the attention gets pulled away, but you're actually, your body's actually doing something else, you know? Like, yeah. You know, because it just can, there's no limit or self-discipline, you know, of where it goes. Uh-huh. Like, you know,
so the body's
so much suffering, yeah.
The body's actually here, yeah, doing a task. And then there's that pull, both in the internal voice, and it sounds like it's also being mirrored by an external, you know, voice too.
Yes.
And wanting to pull the attention to something, someplace other than where the body is in the moment.
Yes, and what's actually happening.
And what's actually happening.
What I'm actually doing, what I'm doing at that time. Uh-huh. And it's quite an area of suffering, because it's one of the things I've kind of looked at, because the question how it arises is, how do I do everything and keep my attention on one thing at a time, uh-huh, and switch, uh-huh, between them, you know? So, uh-huh, because what happens is there's like some content that's really emotionally charged, let's say, or there's stress involved with it. And then you have to cut that off and then go do something else, but it's still there, like the residual of all that still comes
that
with you. And, you know, it's just basically dropping the conversation, mm-hmm, is all, mm-hmm, that you can really do, is just drop the whole thing and just redirect your attention. It's such a practice.
Mm-hmm. Such a practice.
Yeah.
We say, it wants to say basically all you have to do is drop the conversation.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, moving from something that's emotionally charged.
Right.
And practicing dropping the conversation as the body goes to the next thing that has, you know, nothing to do with that previously emotionally charged situation, and practicing with that.
Yeah, because I have that same deepest desire, and I realize that over and over again, to just be here. Mm-hmm. That's really all I want, is to be here. Mm-hmm. Like, anything else could be happening. As long as I'm here, it's all, that's where I want to be. I don't know how other way to say it, but...
Yeah.
And so, if everything's going on, then if you're just here, then it seems like life will just provide the next step, you know, and that's sort of what's been coming up on the recorder, mm-hmm, as I record about it. Mm-hmm. It just kind of drops in, just be here, just, mm-hmm, you know, just drive down the road, just sit there and do that, you know, don't think about anything else as you're doing those things.
Just get here and let life, mm-hmm, provide the next step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it isn't easy. I'm not saying that. It's a simple thing, but
it's not easy.
And so recording on the way over here, it was just like, there's another part of it that's noodling about the things, you know, mm-hmm, so it feels like there's like a piece of decision making that conditioning always wants to be involved in, mm-hmm, you know, and there isn't any reason for it to be involved in it, mm-hmm, you know. And so I was recording, and I was recording the right hand what the question was, and then I put it in the left hand. The answer was clear, just popped right up, like immediately. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, that's what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
Period. I'm not talking about it anymore.
Wow.
Period.
Wow.
And you know, the thing was, I was happy immediately.
Wow.
And it's like, it doesn't matter what I do.
Exactly.
Because as long as I'm here.
Yep.
It'll all be fine, you know. Yeah. So it's like, just because it's the how, right?
Yeah,
so
it's the how.
It just doesn't even matter.
Really, yeah. and seeing that there's the answer to the question right there, immediate, and there's a happiness that comes with that, and uh-huh, then there's that, you know, it's conditioned mind specialty noodling, mm-hmm, you know, to, mm-hmm, come in and want to get in and have it say.
Yeah.
About the decision, and I think from what you're saying, that does not bring the happiness that you got from the recording and that instantaneous, mm-hmm, knowing. Oh, this is the direction to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to get that it doesn't matter.
It's so hard to get
what I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know, it's like, because then it immediately starts, what about this and what about that? Mm-hmm. But what if that happens? And, you know, it's just this whole new thing now. Mm-hmm. So now there's that decision made. Mm-hmm. And then it just comes in with, well, what about this? Oh, how's that going to work? You know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, just be quiet.
Yeah.
Just be quiet.
Yeah. Well, that gives that brings me back to the coin toss thing, you know.
Yeah, it is like a coin
toss. It's just like the coin toss thing. It really doesn't matter, you know. Yeah. Just the decision, you know, not allowing the noodling.
Yeah.
And
that's what's hard to, that's the attachment, mm-hmm. or the addiction, if you can put it that way, I think. The attachment to thinking you have control over what's going to happen.
Yes.
Or if you do something different than that, it's going to actually make a difference.
Yes.
You know, like, and there it is, like, even like, somehow conditioning tells me that I'm in, like, if I did that, like, one of the decisions has to do with cars and what I do with cars, with me and one of my children. And it's like, then it comes in with, well, if you do that, what if he gets an accident in that car? It's like, oh my gosh, I really have control over what's going to happen if he gets an accident in that car.
Right, 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 right.
So it just comes in with everything, you know, it's crazy.
Like you said, there's the addiction, you know, that somehow if we make that, you know, and it's so compelling, if I make the right decision, it's going... Things are going to go guaranteed in a certain direction, and life will unfold thus and so, and you know, I'll have what I want.
Right. Yeah. Like I can control it. Mm-hmm. Or I'm to blame for it.
Blame.
You know, like to the feeling bad that it's constantly arising. Being caused by that conversation, however that works, the connection between the two.
And the stress behind that of just like,
yeah,
you know, somehow there is that control, and if you can just figure it out.
Yeah, so the recorder is just a heavenly place to be. To record, and just, this is what the decision is, and then don't let it come back to talk about it at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when it does, it sounds like the recorder comes back up. The recorder gets picked back up again.
Pick it back up and do it again,
Thank you. Care.
It's really good to be here at a group because it takes my attention away from ego, so I feel kind of more lightness. I really appreciate that. And I've just been doing a lot of recording, and I'm doing that 30-day retreat, so I'm doing a lot of writing, so I'm just seeing tons and tons and tons of things, like second by second. And mostly it's what I'm seeing, what ego is saying to me, so I'm kind of yesterday I was looking at being late. I'm going to be late. Since I'm going to be late, I've got to hurry. And so it's all this tightness in my body. So it's kind of a long-term thing I'm looking at. And then what I saw was, I came back to the archway in time for the kitchen thing, and I was just kind of wandering around. And then I walked in, and everyone was already standing in a circle for the reading. And I thought, oh, I'm late. And then I thought about ego projected onto everyone, what I was thinking, what ego was actually saying about me. And then later on, in my hermitage, I was thinking about it, and all that I actually knew was, I didn't know that I was late, but when I arrived, people were standing in a circle, and I had no idea if I was late or not. So it was just like, oh my God, that was just a big relief to see that.
To just see how a situation gets interpreted. Right. You show up in the kitchen, everyone's in a circle, you hear, Oh my God, I'm late, which you notice prior to that is, should we say, a karmic thing, or, you know, and you've noticed a long-term orientation that the conditioned mind has had with you, yattering at you about how you're going to be late.
Right,
And just seeing, how do I know that what other people are thinking?
How do I know what other people are thinking? And so, and then today, what was bugging me was, everything, ego was saying that everything that I did, or everything that I thought, or everything that I was going to say was for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. And so it was just relentless. Mm-hmm. You know, here's my thought. First of all, the thought is in the future about what I'm going to do or what I'm going to say, and then, that's for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's just a bombardment. And so then I've been trying to turn my attention. I feel like when I'm not here, I'm like more oriented to joy and life, and now I just feel this kind of heaviness. Mm-hmm. And so I want to change that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the ego says, that's bad. You want to change it. You're supposed to accept how things are. And it's just like, God, I'm worn out.
Yeah, we can kind of kill every good time, you know, with that constant bombardment of being the wrong person.
Yeah.
You know, this is not, you know, this is not the right thing to do. This is not the right thing to say.
Right.
And to just keep one tied in a knot.
Right. And I'm not even able to get to the right practice tools.
And not able to get to the right practice tools.
So then today I was thinking, oh my God, I need humor. I'm going to find humor all day long. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, what I could do, so there's these little stories about how bad it is, so I can just make up a funny story. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's a really good idea. And then Eva says, you're just trying to be funny. Or come to group, you know, and then you're just trying to be funny, you know. But actually, I am funny. But I thought, it's okay to make up a funny story for myself about, well, look at that, oh my God, look at that, you know, this is what mm-hmm. I'm seeing, and look, mm-hmm. oh my God. Mm-hmm. So that's totally fine to do that.
Totally fine, and a fine practice tool.
Humor. Yeah.
You know, what? As you can see, conditioned mind hates humor, and so to call on what you're naturally, you know, is a great quality in this human being, and to just capitalize on that. Okay,
yeah.
I'm turning to humor.
Now, I've also noticed that ego uses humor, and then I listen to its message. Like when our meditation was over, it's time for group, it's like, it's showtime. Mm-hmm. You know, like, get it together, right? You know, mm-hmm. to perform or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of I think that was ego.
Trying to be funny, but...
Trying to be funny, yeah. still... A little bit funny.
A little cruel. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And the cruelty to it, too. And so last week it was like, oh my God, 6 weeks? It's not going to be enough here. And now it's yesterday. It's, oh my God, how can I get out of here, you know? Uh-huh. And so, this is not sufficient. How can I, whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was taking a walk. It was absolutely beautiful. The evening light. And okay, how do I leave? And I saw what was going on, and yeah, so I saw this is the kind of thing that I like, being out in the evening light and looking at the trees and the grasses. That's what I like, and I can't really see what I like at this moment.
Yeah,
I kind of like it, but I'm not really into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that if mm-hmm. I'm somewhere else, I'll get that. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. so I made all these recordings before I came here to support me. When I was listening to Eagle a lot, so some of them were really good. I was listening last night, and just kind of that compassion. Mm-hmm. And okay, this is how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. This is how it may be. Mm-hmm. You may be feeling like this, mm-hmm. and that means that you're listening to Eagle a lot, and actually what you came for, and all this kind of stuff.
So. A reminder, right? A reminder of what brought this person to the monastery, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. to just remember that, and to. It sounds like there's catching that pull to take you away from what's really important to the heart, like the taking a walk in the evening, and the light, and the trees, and the beauty of that.
Or maybe that's ego, not liking everything that I notice. I think it's just kind of painful just seeing. Here I have these three thoughts and slam, slam, slam in a row. It's like, well, where's the break? Mm-hmm. Where's the break from this?
Yeah, just seeing. Yeah. Just seeing. There's no break.
There's no break.
With ego. So, you know?
Yeah, so humor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So turning to humor.
Turning to humor, mm-hmm. yeah.
Turning to the recorder.
Recorder.
Turning to that lovely light, mm-hmm. and what really brings joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think walking slowly too.
And walking slowly.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Cameron.
I was just seeing that the constant bamboozle of. If something was different, or if I was somewhere else, then I would have what I want, or things would be the way that would allow me to feel however I think I need to feel, other than the way I'm feeling now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a fail-safe trap. You know, if it can convince us that there is a possibility to be somewhere else, there is an alternative reality where I could be having a different experience, then it's got me constantly unhappy. Constantly unhappy. And if I can turn that around and say, huh, there is no other place, there is no other reality, this is it, now where's the joy? Here. So just then that's a completely different circumstance.
The being here in joy is a completely different circumstance than that constant conversation that you should be someplace else.
Right, turning that around and saying, you know, realizing, I mean, you know, that's the challenge, because when we're believing something, we're believing it. And but, you know, maybe I was just thinking of some, you know, recordings about reminding about that particular argument. At any time that there's an argument that comes up, that's, you know, saying, oh, if only, if only this could be different, or if only that person wouldn't be so stupid, or whatever egos. You know, that whole line is a like, stop. There is no if only, there is nowhere else, there is here. Thank goodness I can actually be here.
That's, you know, that's, you point to just one of the great benefits of recording, that we can record the hooks. And, you know, when I hear that phrase, that if only, or anything that has to do with being in a different place, that we know that's we know that's a signal that there's a bamboozle going on.
I could so relate to the one talked about earlier about, if only I had this information that seems to be missing, then I could be successful. It's like, I don't have all the information I need to be successful. And I've got to find out how to get that, or what is that, or, you know, so I'm scrambling for something that's not even true.
Scrambling from information from a system that wants to keep us scrambling.
It's a system that's telling me that I need this information. So then if I don't have the information and I can't be successful, then I am a victim. And how can you be happy if the world is not giving you the information you need? It's just funny, actually.
So just seeing that, that's not possible. It's not possible to be the person that's not, doesn't have the information that's needed right in this moment.
It's just amazing how it can really actually has got us so conditioned to actually believe those things are true. And thank goodness we have a practice that helps us to see it often enough that it's kind of like, you know, you can learn that. I don't need anything that isn't here, because everything is here.
And there's the practice.
It's like earlier was said, it's so simple, but it's not always easy.
To just get here where everything, we have everything.
Because that expression of these things being hooks, you know, I can just see a fish, and when that hook gets in, the shape of it and the prong that goes backwards, I mean, it is not something you can get out of without hurting yourself. You know, I mean, the fish. I can't. Because it's wicked. It's,
So thank goodness we have the recorder that we can use to...
The recorder is sort of like... you know, pulling against the hook sets it more deeply and rips, you know. But the recording is kind of like a way of relaxing instead of pulling against the hook. Yeah. I never thought of that before. That was just, this is coming out of my mouth. Maybe crazy, but
So just really recognizing this morning what folks are talking about, of that, you know, just getting here, using the recorder to do that, and everything else is crazy. Everything else is a bamboozle.
I think I'm going to kind of play with that image a little bit, you know, the happy fish in this sparkling stream just swimming along, and there as you go on the shore just throwing out bait after bait after bait and trying to get that bad hook.
And it doesn't have to be taken.
And it doesn't have to be taken,
Well, I've been looking at this workshop that I'm a part of, that in it we're sometimes I've been encouraged to look at why we're doing it, why I'm doing it, and I had a opening around that, and it feels like there's a well, this also ties in with what's going on out in the world politically. People kind of allude to things all the time in group, but we're not really plugged into that. And so, thankfully, largely, and for me, the gratitude that I feel for that is that I'm not hooked all of those times, you know, and about this content or that content, but I have a general sense of what is happening. And so what opened was that this workshop that I'm doing is really a way that I can serve the country. So it feels like it's a way that I can live my principles and values in a way that is helping people and helping me and growing awareness and seeing through conditioning and all of those kinds of things. And when it dropped in the other day of being framed as I'm serving my country, it felt so expansive, and there was this release of energy, like an and happiness, not so much excitement, but happiness, gratitude for the opportunity, and for the frame of that. And so you know, people often say if you find out why, that adds fuel to your work, to the practice. And that was my experience. It was like whoosh, this big sense of fuel that I really want to give my whole heart to this workshop, right? And every all the assignments, everything we're asked to do. And you know, just like what could be expected after any opening, is there was that you're serving your country. God, you sound like a patriot, you know, and all this kind of, you know, ego nonsense. And just watching, you know, so much of the, like, there is nothing wrong with you work and everything is in practice in general, is getting in between that innocence and the ego that wants to dump on it. And I could just feel myself go there, like, how adorable. Go ahead, you go, you know, you go, girl, you, whatever you want to feel is good, you know, is great. And it's so much because it's the fuel that ego is after.
Yeah.
It's not her. She didn't care about, you know, whether I love the country or not. It's the fuel. And if it can get over the mentor to the innocence, and stomp on this little whatever and make me feel bad or feel fool or whatever, it gets the fuel. And if it can't, then Rebecca, I get the fuel. I get to the, or the workshop, or the country, or the life gets the fuel.
Yeah, as you pointed to earlier, that there's this workshop you're in, and that, you know, there's been a kind of maybe I don't know if you said this, but an unclarity about why you're participating in the workshop.
It comes and goes.
And suddenly seeing that it's a possibility to be of service through the actions one's taking in this workshop. and you saw it as a service to the country. Mm-hmm. And that what you call fuel or energy that accompanied that, you know, just being aware of that, whoa, that whoosh. Mm-hmm. And then also, at, you know, being able to count on that mm-hmm. you know, that system's going to try and chomp on that fuel, mm-hmm. chomp on that energy. And there was someone there to stand between. Mm-hmm. And that innocence mm-hmm. and prevent that fuel from being taken mm-hmm. for, it's interesting, mm-hmm. prevent that fuel from being taken from, like in a way you've talked about the political climate going on, prevent that fuel, you know, in the same way that is in out in the world, that fuel is taken and for, you know,
yeah,
not such
life-giving ways.
To just intervene right there, and that's the place.
Yeah, and you know, as you're saying that, I remembered that I got this beautiful opportunity to be a part of the group coaching of Seeing with the Eyes of Love a few months ago, and seeing participant after participant mm-hmm. doing these beautiful, generous things with their lives, and it was all about being the change we want to be in the world. And watching that mean system come in and try to do that. And that's what we were all doing, is supporting each other and not letting that happen. But the beautiful thing that I got to see, my role was facilitator in that case. But here it feels like my role is participant. Because I can feel like since I'm in the monastery, I can't really be, whatever. But when I saw that, this mm-hmm. workshop is of service, and it's not just of service, because mm-hmm. that's beautiful, and I love mm-hmm. that, but there was something in me that really resonated with service to the country. Uh-huh. I mean, I love this country so uh-huh. much. Uh-huh. I love history, I love politics, I love the system of government, I love the Constitution, I love everything, you know, like that. I mean, just I'm a real idealist in that way. I think we just have something really special here. And to tap into that,
yeah.
you know, it's like all of the, you know, how sometimes karma, I feel like sometimes we peel away all the yucky karma to get to the jewel. Mm-hmm. This feels like a process of folding in all the beauty of the jewel mm-hmm. to build this beautiful mm-hmm. experience mm-hmm. of life. Mm-hmm. And so all of this part that loves this country has gotten to get folded into uh-huh. a really beautiful workshop, uh-huh. and that added so uh-huh. much energy.
Wow! Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that there was this this love of country mm-hmm. and this really deep desire to be of service to country
yeah.
had not been recognized or acknowledged or given a way to express
yeah.
itself, and suddenly, oh,
yeah.
there was this opportunity to have that acknowledged. And there was also this heroic act of preserving that,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. just preserving that for her. She gets to keep it. She found that place to acknowledge that mm-hmm. love,
mm-hmm.
and she gets to keep that mm-hmm. love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that. That's really... I'm feeling quite moved, and it's, I can so see why ego has been attacking that mm-hmm. so fervently mm-hmm. all these years,
mm-hmm.
and the beauty of just getting to revel in it.
To just, as you said earlier, to just keep it, mm-hmm. to keep it for her,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. instead of having it dissipated into.
I've been reading this book about trauma and trauma treatment, and it seems like what keeps being revealed through the treatments is these underlying basic needs mm-hmm. that we talk about here in this practice, and there's nothing wrong with your work and that kind of thing. Just those needs to be seen and to mm-hmm. belong and to be loved mm-hmm. and to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just experiencing the magic. I mean, it's unbelievable that people, that I could project and hone that projection, could be spending their whole lives basically wanting those unmet needs to get met, but identified with something that's guaranteed that they won't do that, but promise that they will. So that, but then they'll never, it's that thing that Sherry says about giving someone a task that they have to do but can't be done.
And
just preoccupied for their whole lives, and then we come to this group and there's an opportunity to be seen, to be heard, to experience love, to belong. And I was just watching, I don't have to be talking. I feel seen just by listening to people. And I mean, what a miracle.
You know? What a miracle.
Gosh.
What a miracle to be seen and to have that experience of being seen. And then the attention doesn't have to be directed on you, but just as it is directed to each person, and what is authentic is seen.
Yes.
It's also seen.
That's right.
Here.
Yeah, that's well said. So sort of connected to that, what I was hearing, that place around, you know, if I could just get that information, or if I could just that thing, and then I'll have, and the image I had about that is, like in cartoons, how those little thought bubbles.
Yeah.
And there's that little thought bubble. If I could just get that information, then I'll have this. And it's hard to see that that's a thought bubble. That is not the same thing as another bubble or process about feeling seen, about feeling loved, having the experience. And we can't see that thought bubble is the way, that's it. That's what it does. You'll never get that information. You'll never have that thing so that you'll, because that one process doesn't lead to another. That's not the process of whatever it is, peace, clarity, joy. That's the process of suffering. And as long as our attention is around believing that, you're going to suffer. It's just so cruel, though, because I was just watching in the group about, you know, talking about that and letting go of that, and I could just hear this, no, like, I've been, like, someone's been doing this for decades. I know I can get that information, that thing. I can be this person, and then I'll, and you're saying that all of that time, and then it starts to get back to, you're saying I'm a fool, I'm made up. This isn't, because essentially that's what you have to do. You have to let go of that belief. And along with that, you have to let go of the identification, which is often what I think is me.
Exactly.
And so I'll stop there.
So, there's so much. Yeah, so just seeing that we can't see that's a thought bubble, you know, it's a thought bubble because it's us. You know, and just seeing the cruelty in the system as you look at the possibility of letting that go, hearing that no, if I let that go, I'm letting go of who I am.
Yeah, I mean, I can feel that fear of I'll disappear.
I'll disappear.
Which is, you know, kind of what we're going for in awareness, right?
That's what we're going for.
Oh, I just didn't quite see that, like how identified I was with that. And it makes sense. I've been watching this process of addiction around just certain behaviors. Like, it could be, like, I've been talking about the caffeine, and it's just fascinating, just briefly. Like, I didn't have caffeine for 30 days. Felt great, noticed all kinds of things, had space. Let myself go back to it, beginning recording about that experience, great. And then, you know, day three, I felt like I was completely back into the, I have to have this. Mm-hmm. And the little rituals, the little plans, almost like I never had that space. You know, and then watching the same thing, kind of, and then, you know, looking up things on the internet outside of hours, or I watched something the other day around not picking up flashlights that we turn on to, this is the bats room living underneath our porch. Knowing it was time to pick them up, but I'm not going to do that. Because then that'll be something that supports the identity. Well, you're kind of a, that's kind of the kind of thing you do. Like you show up and then you just kind of don't do something. And, and so it's like, why not just pick up the flashlights? I don't actually need to read this article. Mm-hmm. No, I know, I don't think I even want the caffeine. Mm-hmm. It seems so simple. Yet the addiction to do those things, and just seeing, well, that's because I keep thinking I'm the me. Yeah. I have to do those things or else me is going to disappear.
Yeah.
So even though I can feel like I don't really want to do that stuff, those mm-hmm. examples I just mm-hmm. gave, it's that compulsion, but I have to.
Mm-hmm. And did I hear you say that just opening the door on one into, opening the door to engaging in one addiction kind of opened the door to all kind a series of manifestations of the addiction in different forms.
Yeah, well, I wasn't exactly saying that, but that is true, because mm-hmm. then when I it opens the door to seeing uh-huh. the different manifestations.
Okay.
But it can open the door, because then there's a self-hate for doing mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. and then there's the coping with mm-hmm. the self-hate, which tends to be more of those behaviors that reinforce the identity that you're and then I feel bad, so now I gotta cope, so I gotta do the behavior more, and it can feel like, oh, yeah. I'm sliding down the side of the hill, and I was just going for a little hike, I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go down to the gully on my face.
Right.
That's definitely where it can end up.
Yeah,
and it's just good, again, to go back to where I started about hearing people, because this is enough of that separation. This is not personal. This is happening. Mm-hmm. We're together on this.
Exactly.
It helps, because there's also an addiction to not talking about it.
Yeah.
We're talking about this mm-hmm. over here. Yeah. We're not talking about stuff, but not this. Which is, talk about the big thing. So, yeah. And then, so the other side of this is life on our side.
Right.
So every night I make a recording for myself mm-hmm. in the morning, and it's good morning, I love you, these are things we're focusing on, here's some things that we want to do this morning. And then I've just been reading random stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just picked up the Big Bamboozle book, and I opened up to collusion and read about collusion. Mm-hmm. And it was directly talking about the way we collude is not talking about what's going on inside mm-hmm. of us, not talking about the conversation we're in. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, I think that's me. I think that's... so it's just so fascinating to not take it personally, because then you can see, it's sort of like, here's the addiction, and here's the support to break
exactly.
it. And there's the unconditional love, apparently, that you can continue to go back to that addiction as many times as you need, and there'll be continue to be the support uh-huh. every single time mm-hmm. if you want to receive that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's fine if you don't. It's not... There is. It's not in a container of you should do it or shouldn't do
it's
it.
Not.
It's just that the opportunity is here for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not in that container of right person, wrong person. The opportunity is here. And what you said earlier is that life is just, life's there. Mm-hmm. Given, it's on your side. And I feel like what you're describing is the experience in group this morning of, life being on your side, being seen, mm-hmm. Being seen through other people, being seen in group, and we put ourselves in an environment to make ourselves practice prone, and see that's the part, that's a piece of it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, putting ourselves in that position to be accident prone.
Life prone, recording.
That's exactly true. Mm-hmm. And I think the last thing I'll say is it helps you see that it's a choice. Mm-hmm. There's no judgment if you don't.
Yeah.
But it's, we're in this situation. Mm-hmm. There's some clarity mm-hmm. about how it works. Mm-hmm. And it's some clarity about what you can choose to align with.
Yeah.
And life, it will infinitely, apparently, just keep giving that opportunity. And you can see that with the guy just saying the same things over to you over and over. And didn't I tell you this already? Ever.
Ever.
And life just is like, okay, let's look at this again. Okay, let's look at this again. I think we looked at it 5 times already today, but let's look at it again. You know, there's never even that. It's just, and just... Hopefully, mm-hmm. catching a glimpse, wearing the ego away, becoming more free.
And maybe as you pointed to when you first started the talk, we eventually come to this place for the trauma. Mm-hmm. For the person that's been traumatized mm-hmm. over and over again, we finally have the experience of
I want to go to that trauma again. Exactly. You know, exactly. I've had the experience of what it's like to live with life.
Yeah.
And I choose that. And life is just there supporting us over and over again until, I don't know, until maybe we arrive at that place.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. To be in a step back in that place to both hold, to see the trauma and the damage, not back then, but what's happening now. And then to see the love and support and freedom that's possible.
Yeah.
And you're right, it becomes a lot more clear. Yeah. And then it's a practice of choosing.
Yeah, it's a practice of choosing and not a practice of denial or...
Yes.
I choose that. I choose life.
Yeah. Yeah.